Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's the snap. Stafford back to pass. Looks, swings it out left side. Intercepted by J.J. Watt, and he's going to take it in for a touchdown. Watson is back to pass. He looks, going deep down the left side, trying to find Fuller. He's got it. Touchdown, Texans. Deshaun Watson finds Will Fuller for a 40-yard touchdown strike, 32-17. Watson drops to a knee one more time, and this game is over. The Houston Texans, for the second time in franchise history, come to Detroit, and they win on Thanksgiving Day, 41-25.
Here is Gibson, right side, wins the race. Touchdown, Washington. 9 rushing touchdowns on the year for Antonio Gibson. Here is a handoff, and all the way to the house is Antonio Gibson. What a turn of events. 3rd down and 6, right up the gut. That is Gibson, and he is gone. 3rd of the ball game for the rookie Antonio Gibson. And that is a knockout blow here in Arlington, Texas.
It's Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Mark Grody and Chris Emma on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
And we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Yeah, along with Chris Emma, I'm Mark Grody. Today is not Black Friday. Today is a Bears Friday. That's what we're going to call it here today, because there's a Bears-Packers game on Sunday. And although those highlights sounded very exciting, the two NFL games yesterday did very little to scratch my NFL itch. What up, Emma? How are you, man?
Mark, good to be with you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And yeah, you're exactly right. Those two games just did not get it done. I guess it's become a tradition of sorts, seeing the Lions and Cowboys really let us down on Thanksgiving Day in terms of the national television audience. And losing that game last night, the Steelers and the Ravens, was a big blow to your Thanksgiving evening. You made the post-Thanksgiving dinner feel, it made you tired out quickly. It made me ready for bed at about 6:30 p.m. I wanted that game in prime time last night. I actually watched a little bit of the Utah State and New Mexico game. And you know what? That was all we had left. So it was rough. It was rough without that night game.
You do what you got to do. Emma and I here with you on The Score until 11 o'clock this morning. And yeah, the NFL games yesterday, in case you were scattered about, Houston beat Detroit 41-25. Deshaun Watson, from whom you just heard in those highlights, 17 of 25 for 318 yards. He did have 4 touchdown passes. Will Fuller, big game, 171 yards receiving. So yeah, there still is a receiver for the Texans. Stafford had 295 and a pick. J.J. Watt with a pick 6 during that game. So and now the story is popping up randomly, even on a thankful holiday, that Matt Patricia has got to go. As the Lions did their Lions thing. They had that little spasm of success where they won 2 games in a row, and people started thinking, oh, maybe the Lions, keep an eye on the Lions. You know, they got a lot of talent on the Lions. No, they don't. And the Lions all of a sudden have lost 2 in a row. So it got me to thinking too about the NFC North, Emma, in that right now, like, you got one team. There's one team in that division, and that's the Green Bay Packers. And I know Mike Zimmer just signed a 3-year contract extension, but there was some choppy waters for Zimmer in terms of whether or not he would be brought back on a contract. It's like right now there's one safe coach in that entire division, and he is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and his name is Matt LaFleur, the team that the Bears will play on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we'll start with Matt Patricia there, as you mentioned. I think it's almost certain that he's gone after this season. He's just the wrong hire for that team. I mean, he's somebody who tried, like so many before him, to replicate the Bill Belichick thing, bring New England to Detroit. And he's stuck with a stubborn defensive scheme that's just been beaten over and over. And you saw Deshaun Watson pick it apart. Heck, in Chicago, we've seen Mitchell Trubisky pick it apart. That man scheme, quarterbacks are just able to find openings in it over and over again. He's not going to be back as the coach of the Lions. I think Mike Zimmer will be back. I think he's created a culture there, and it's been a setback of a season for them, but I think they'll still kind of pull through this and be back to contending next year. But then you mentioned it, Mark, the Chicago Bears. What happens with them after this season? I am fascinated by these final six games for the Bears because at 5-5 right now, they have to get to 8 wins, really, to feel good, at least better about this season. You know, that goes 3-3 the rest of the way. You feel stronger, like you finish out a little bit better, and you feel like this team's stuck together. But, Mark, if they go under 8 wins, if they go 7 wins, 6 wins, or really bottom out and go 0-6 down the stretch, then you're talking about a coaching change in Chicago. I think that's a very realistic possibility if these final six games go against them badly.
What you said makes sense. However, I would be shocked if there was a coaching change, even if the Bears, let's say the Bears go 7-9. I still don't think there's going to be a coaching change, and I'll explain why here in a second. But let me put the caveat, the unless caveat on. The unless caveat is if the Bears go to Green Bay this week and they lose by 30 or 40 or 50 or some ungodly amount, if they lose out the rest of the way, if even in those 7 wins there's some embarrassing losses, then maybe we'll be talking about it. Here's why I don't think Matt Nagy is going to lose his job. I believe that the McCaskies will have taken into account this season and the craziness that has existed with it, the peripheral issues. Well, I wouldn't even call them peripheral. They're smack dab in your face, and that's everything that has gone on this year, from not having a training camp to not having OTAs to no preseason to all of that stuff that we don't really talk about anymore. And I understand that because I haven't really talked about it much. But, you know, there were overtones of that at the beginning of this season to say, hey, this is an odd year. So I do think that'll be taken into account. The second thing, and probably more importantly, on why I think Matt Nagy keeps his job, is I still think that when they blew it all up with Phil Emery and Mark Trestman in that year, I think that took everything that ownership had to do. Like, I don't think they wanted to do that. The Bears don't typically react that way. They are typically, for better or for worse, more patient with their coaches, with management, with everything. So that was a shock. Because remember when that went down, the Phil Emery, Mark Trestman thing, that was pretty shocking that they did that. That because everybody was kind of goating them and saying, oh, you know, they have to do it, but they're not going to do it. And that was the year where, yes, they were embarrassed by Green Bay. They had this string of games where teams put 50 points up against them, and the franchise felt that they had been defaced. So I think unless the franchise feels it gets defaced in these final games this season, everybody keeps their jobs for the reasons that I laid out.
The word deface is good there in terms of explaining this. I'm in agree with you entirely, but I'll counter with that in saying I think there's a potential for them to be defaced. I think this offense has become so dysfunctional, so really pathetic, I think that's really the right term to use at this point, that it's something the Bears have to consider. This is an offensive-minded head coach whose offense ranks 31st in the league and really could be 32nd by the end of the year. I mean, the Jets can at least put up a couple more points than the Bears at this pace. The Bears had their run to 5-1 to start the season. And if you were to say, you knew that team at 5-1 was not a legitimate top team in the NFC. But if you were to say this team's going to finish 7-9 or 8-8, you'd say that's a horrific end of the year. And you mentioned it, the term being defaced. The Bears have the Packers on Sunday night in primetime, but they also finish the season against those same Packers at Soldier Field. I think that game will really set a tone for when George McCaskey and the Bears board of directors sit down after the season. That feeling, whether it's a Monday after that Packers game or Tuesday, whenever they meet, and discuss Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the feeling and what happened that Sunday at Soldier Field against the team that the McCaskey family wants to beat every time out. What happens in that game could decide where the Bears go after this season.
Let me open up the phone lines here because this is a great discussion to start the day, the future of the Bears, and really going 1-0. 312-644-6767 is the number. Again, 312-644-6767. That is the phone number. You could call me and Chris Emma. Sean Anderson is our producer. He is the man to whom you will speak and then put you right on the air with us if you'd like. The text zone is open as well, 312-644-6767, and that text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So 312-644-6767 is the number. Yeah, I mean, I just think it would take everything within the Bears. Like, I think about it from their perspective, from ownership's perspective, and maybe to a lesser degree management, if Pace and Nagy aren't packaged as one, if say they let Nagy go and kept Pace, that what a pain in the ass it would be. Like, think about it from that perspective, that they did all the vetting on both of those guys, two guys that they obviously like personally, and two guys that seemed extremely competent when they are hired, to have to go through that entire process again. And really, essentially, if the Bears were to let Matt Nagy go and or Ryan Pace, you really are starting from the bottom again. And I think that, to some degree, maybe conceding the next couple of years, because you have to look at it that way. Even if you do get the first-year head coach spike, like the Bears did with Matt Nagy in 2018, you still have to say to yourself, I got to let this GM and this coach do it their way, which might mean tearing some things down, making decisions about players that maybe they liked, that they feel like they got to go. So I think that there is some reluctance to do that, because then you're conceding years. And right now, man, the thing is about the Bears is, no matter how bad it's looked in the last four games, it's going to sound really weird to say, they're still in a playoff or championship window because of that defense, man.
First of all, Mark, the term you're looking for is in the hunt. You'll see it on every television graphic, every national game. The Bears are in the hunt. What does it mean? Nothing really. They're just in the hunt. I will disagree with your last point, though, about the idea of it just being a pain for them to go through this. I think this is absolutely the right time to consider, because the Bears really don't have a quarterback right now, as we know. That's clear as day. It gives the Bears an opportunity to reboot the head coach, GM, and quarterback and get all three on the same page. Because if you were to make, let's say, just a coaching change, then you're letting Ryan Pace hire his third head coach and draft his second quarterback. If you make a general manager change but not a coaching change, then you have a head coach who's latched to it, or general manager who's latched to a head coach who's status obviously would be uncertain heading into 21, and then he would have to make that quarterback fit with Matt Nagy. It's a chance to blow things up with that three-band connection of quarterback, head coach, and general manager, all at a time where your defense is playing at this high of a level, where your floor is still about 500. It's about 7 or 8 wins. That's about as far as they could bottom out. I think they're that good of a team just because of this defense. Now you have a chance to reboot the offensive staff and get a head coach and a quarterback up to speed and try to develop that to continue on this championship window, which is really, as long as Khalil Mack is in that building, you're hoping to be winning championships. You have a chance to reboot those three vital positions and move forward with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say Khalil Mack, I say Roquan Smith, because right now he's the best player on the Chicago Bears. He's Chris Emma. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, 312-644-6767. To your calls. This is, let's go to Wayne in West Lafayette. What up, Wayne? How are you, man?
My friend Grody, how are you, buddy?
Brother, I am doing well.
Man, you are the Mariano Rivera of the score. You're the relief pitcher. They put you in wherever they need to make a win, buddy.
So right, and I perform at a Hall of Fame level, man. I'm not some utility
guy. I'm proud of you,
guy,
buddy,
you
man.
Know?
I've seen we've come a long ways together, Grody, and I'm awful proud of you. Hey, Mr. Emma, hey. Nice talking to you. Hey, you guys, I want to tell you, it's still not as bad as Dr. Death days when Patriots and the Packers and the Vikings were beating us 40 like something and nothing. And so, I mean, So that would be that's when the McCaskies really stepped in, don't you think? And I don't know, Grody, you don't got any people? How many quarterbacks do you know of that for sure that are going to be free agents next year that we might possibly be able to get from?
All right, Wayne, thanks for the call, man. And yeah, and actually, I think it wasn't it San Francisco in that triplet of teams that put 50 up on the Bears, or was it the Vikings? I do remember the Patriots and the Packers. The third team, though, the Vikings doesn't sound familiar. Do you remember, Emma? I think it was San Francisco.
Mark, I tried to block that entire season out of my head. It was such a disgrace to the game of football. They lost 41-28 to the Cowboys in primetime, so that might be the other game that was being referenced there. They didn't play the 49ers. They did week two, actually. They won that game. But, yeah, they bottomed out, losing five in a row to finish the season and left the Bears or management with no choice but to fire Mark Trestman and Phil Embry.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by a defacing, and that's what I think it would take. I just think it would be excruciating for them to have to clean a house again, especially and I do think that things like Matt Nagy's strengths, I do think the ones that he does have still go a long way in the organization, and that is the galvanizing effect that he has, even though he has not been good in terms of getting the offense right. He has been good in the locker room and with all three phases, as we say, and for better or for worse, I do think that counts for something. 312-644-6767 is the number. So we should probably kind of go back to the beginning here and let everybody know what is going on with the Bears. So they're at Green Bay on Sunday, and yesterday we learned that, again, for the second straight day, that for the second practice this week, the second full practice, Nick Foles did not participate yesterday, while Mitch Trubisky was a full go. That same scenario 2 days in a row, that's exactly the way it appeared on the injury report to which Emma and I are privy. Foles, again, according to Matt Nagy, is day-to-day. The Bears, here's the schedule today, because this will give you a little idea of when you should be watching Chris, Emma, and I on Twitter and listening to 670 The Score. The Bears practice at 11:35 this morning. Matt Nagy will speak at about 1:30. Now, I predicted that yesterday Matt Nagy would let us know who the quarterback was. He did not do that. So guess what, Emma? I'm not predicting a damn thing today. He'll string this. Today is what? Today is Friday. So I think he will, actually. I'm not predicting. I'm saying I think he will. Because today is Friday, the last day that Nagy would speak to the media. But he's really stringing this thing out, man.
Well, Matt, Mark, he's not going to name a starter today. What he's going to do is have Nick Foles ruled out and say Mitch is going to be the quarterback Sunday night, and the Bears will make a decision following that. What Nagy's doing is intentional. He's putting off the opportunity to make that firm decision between Trubisky and Foles while Foles is hurt, because he doesn't have to right now. Mitchell Trubisky's going to play on Sunday night. He's going to be the starter, and I think Nick Foles is going to be inactive. Tyler Bray will be the backup, and there will be no uncertainty at the quarterback position until after Trubisky performs Sunday night. And then you'll go back through the film. You'll see what he did right, what he did wrong. If he has a horrid game, then Matt Nagy still reserves that right to say Nick Foles is still our starter. What Matt Nagy's doing is simply holding on to the Nick Foles card and giving Trubisky that big opportunity to perform Sunday night. But he doesn't want to commit to Mitch Trubisky now, because if Trubisky goes out there and blows up on Sunday night, then he doesn't have to do the embarrassment of saying Nick Foles is our quarterback now and flip that card back the other way.
I have some thoughts on the gamesmanship that I want to get to here in just a little bit. But right now, Ezekiel has been waiting. And Ezekiel, Sean told me where you are, but I already forgot. Ezekiel, where are you?
Good morning, fellas. I just want to say, I think regardless of what happens this season, we're going to have to stick with Matt Nagy. Yeah, we've had a bad season. We want to say this season and last season was ultimately a failure. But people don't forget that the first season Matt Nagy was there, he took Trubisky to a Pro Bowl level. Trubisky made it to the Pro Bowl. So I don't think Matt Nagy has had the opportunity to actually have his quarterback and really show his the reason why we got him, his offensive mind, and with the defense that you guys brought up, the defense we have right now, we're set up for a championship.
Hey, so Ezekiel, Ezekiel, my friend, I got to ask you a question though on the Mitchell Trubisky Pro Bowl thing. Was he really a Pro Bowler in 2018?
No, I don't think he was a Pro Bowler. I think the team that Nagy put for him, he put him in the position to win. And yeah, he made it to Pro Bowl off of technicalities. He wasn't supposed to be there, but yeah, he ended up being there. And he performed pretty well in the first season, and it's on him that he regressed. They gave him an opportunity to win. He regressed. So I think we should give Matt Nagy another chance, and I think we should get him a real quarterback. We either draft one or we pick somebody up. We see who we can get, and I think that's how we should determine whether or not he stays as our coach. As far as pace, I don't really care if he goes, but you really can. You have to take one with the other.
All right, Ezekiel, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, when Matt Nagy came in, I absolutely loved his scheme and all of his ideas, but for whatever reason, for the most part, with the players that he has had, it has not worked out particularly well. So, he was in the Pro Bowl that year, but he definitely was not a Pro Bowler, Emma.
Well, yeah, and the funny thing with Matt Nagy is when he was hired in January of 2018, there was no question this guy is a really bright offensive mind who's bringing an exciting offense to Chicago. It was a matter of whether he could lead this team properly, and through 2.5 seasons, you've seen he's an excellent leader whose offense is just kind of a mess right now. It's been the complete opposite of what you anticipated, and clearly, this offense is so fundamentally broken. After a reboot this past offseason, you have to consider the guy who's in charge of it right now. And my original point back to that is just you have to have the quarterback, head coach, and GM in sync. And right now, you're missing that quarterback element. And you have every question about the head coach and general manager. If I'm George McCaskey, I just have to consider that three-man element.
All right, why don't we return? We got to take a quick break here. Along with Chris Emma, I'm Mark Grody. I want to lay some things out here that, and I know people are mad that a quarterback has not been named for the Bears as of yet, but in this case, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the gamesmanship that has gone on. I will lay out why. Also have some cuts that I want you to hear from Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor and Anthony Miller, a bunch of really good stuff that we have highlighted from the Zoom calls yesterday. We'll do all that coming up. Also, I should probably give you our guest list today because it is grand. At 9 o'clock this morning, we will have J.J. Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago. 9:30, get ready, man. Bears-Packers historian Les Grobstein. He will join us at 9:30. And then the one and only Pat Hughes, voice of the Chicago Cubs here on 670 The Score, will be with us at 10 a.m. So that's what we got going on here on a Bears Friday, or maybe you do call it a Black Friday. Chris Emma, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It'd be different if it was somebody that probably didn't have as many reps, but you know, with where he's at, you know, again, he's been involved in all that mentally. So we just got to get a nice clean picture as to where he's at, you know, another 24, 48 hours physically. And for right now, though, when you have all these reps that we have in regards to with Mitch and where he's at, again, we have to be able to be prepared to say, okay, hey, if Mitch is the guy and we roll with Mitch, this is what we're doing well with him. This is what we're not doing well. And then we got to make that decision and go. And so, that's the day-to-day thing. And we have other guys too, you know, that have been missing as well. So we just got to keep an eye on all that.
Oh, Bears head coach Matt Nagy, he's playing the game, man. It's Mark Grody and Chris Emma on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Read Emma's stuff on 670thescore.com. He's always churning stuff out on our website on 670thescore.com. Talking Chicago Bears. We're going to do some Cubs later, and a question I'm going to pose to Chris Emma and to the listeners, and I will reveal my answer as well. The question I'm going to ask about the Cubs: you can keep one core guy. If you could keep one core guy, who would it be? And you got to let one go. Who would that be? Whether through trade or just let them fly. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. 312-644-6767 is the number. And it is that dirty word that football fans seem to hate. A lot of media seems to hate. It is the word gamesmanship. Because that means that you're not getting the information that you necessarily want. It insults people's sensibilities when they think they know who the quarterback is going to be and the head coach simply won't say who it is. And I will say this from my perspective as a person in the media: of course I want the information. Of course I want to be able to tell everybody who the starting quarterback is for the Bears. And all dots do connect to Mitchell Trubisky. But I will tell you this, for the first time, or maybe not the first time, I'm okay with the Matt Nagy gamesmanship in this case. It's the Packers. You are in. The Bears are in. It's not must-win mode. It's desperation mode right now. As Matt Nagy said, they are going to do anything and everything to win this game, to win these games. And this goes back to the Minnesota game when he took himself off of play calling. So anything goes. Your team is free-falling. It is a divisional opponent, one that is very familiar with Mitchell Trubisky and not as much with Nick Foles. And Emma, they are very different quarterbacks. I realize the effectiveness has been similar, but when you are game planning for Mitchell Trubisky, that is vastly different than game planning for Nick Foles. And I've heard opposing teams' defensive coordinators say it, and guys that I've talked to on and off the record, that even though Trubisky has not been great with the Bears, you do have, like, if you're a defensive coordinator, if you're Mike Pettine for the Green Bay Packers or whomever, you do have to account for his feet, and it is a different game plan. So in the case of the Packers, in the case of this game, 5-5, having lost four in a row, I'm okay with it, man. Are you, or do you hate it?
You know, Mark, I kind of wanted to disagree with you initially on the point of gamesmanship. I do roll my eyes when I think about that. I've been covering the Bears since 2015 when John Fox made gamesmanship the top priority at Hallis Hall, and it did amount to much, 14-34 for him. But in regards to this Sunday's game, I understand it. I see the benefit of it. For starters, I'll just put this out there. The Packers know it's going to be Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think that aspect matters as much as the fact that this change now forces them to evaluate the Bears' offense a little bit differently. You have to look back to those first 2.5 games with Trubisky at the helm and what it meant for the running game and the blocking schemes up front and moving the pocket and the kind of things that Trubisky does that Foles doesn't. You look at this Bears' offense the last several weeks with Foles, and teams could just load up the box. They knew he wasn't going to be able to beat them deep. They knew the Bears weren't going to be able to run the ball, and they certainly knew the Bears were not going to be able to block anything in sight. It's different with Trubisky because now you're talking about a little bit more of that under center look, a lot more play action, getting Trubisky's feet moving, moving that pocket around, and it's just a different Bears offense from which there's little sample size. Trubisky has 2.5 games under his belt, like I mentioned before. It's different. You have to really kind of throw out a lot of the film from these last 8 games with Foles at the helm, I guess 7.5. And look at things a little bit differently with Trubisky starting at quarterback. So, Mark, I don't think the element of who's starting at quarterback matters as much as kind of the differences in scouting for the Bears offense that Mike Patton and the Packers now have to face.
312-644-6767. That's the voice of Chris Emma. I'm Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go to Greg in Beverly. Hi, Greg. You're on The Score.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Well, man, how are you?
I'm great. I love the lineup you got. Stankovic, Hughes, and Graba. Those are some of my favorites.
You can't rank them for me. Go ahead, rank them. Three. I mean,
oh,
all
my
great.
Goodness.
Go ahead, rank them.
Stankovic, 1.
Okay.
Hughes, 2.
Okay.
And Graba, 3.
That's excellent, man. That is excellent. What's on your mind, Greg?
Okay, earlier you mentioned about keeping Nagy. And I don't remember exactly what you said, but I'm gonna start right there. The first time I remember seeing Nagy was when he was a offensive coach in Kansas City, and I remember him blowing a huge lead in the playoffs. Okay.
Right. That and was then right before I say he came to the Bears.
Right, and then I say to myself, was 18 an aberration? Okay.
Okay.
And then I say to myself, if we keep him, do we have to keep the GM? Do we have to keep the quarterback? To me, all three should go. That's my own personal opinion.
All right, Greg.
And
so
also,
you got the – yeah, yeah.
No. Also, I was going to say that, you know, a few years ago, the Bears got rid of Lovie Smith, and he was 10-6.
Super Bowl appearance.
Players play for him, you know. The same thing with Detroit. They got rid of Caldwell, and they've stunk ever since. So, as an organization, you have to kind of take those things into consideration.
Greg, you're the best, man. I appreciate the call and the rankings. J.J. Stankovic will be really excited to hear that he was number one on that list with, really, in my opinion, a couple Hall of Famers and Les Grobstein and Pat Hughes. But let me address, because you brought up all sorts of things here. I'll start from the Lovie Smith stuff. The difference is that Lovie Smith had 9 years. And look, Lovie Smith was not cheated. A lot of people think he was. He had nine years, a long time to be a head coach in the NFL. B, he had some power. He had some power in terms of personnel decisions, and he was paid. He was paid well. And the 10-6 year, if you remember, because it's easy now to forget and to kind of do your own history on this, that 10-6 season did not feel like a 10-6 season. And there was, for lack of better terminology and phraseology, there was Lovie fatigue by that time. So I'll never think – I like Lovie Smith. I think Lovie Smith was an excellent Chicago Bears coach. He will go down in history at, let's just say, a good head coach with the Chicago Bears. But he had some bad years. He had some lean years for sure. And I think he was given every single opportunity. Chris, I also think that, yeah, you look back to 2018, he said, you know, was that an aberration? And everything that we thought was 2018 – has turned out to not be that. An offense on the rise, although they were just okay that year offensively, it felt like they were heading in the right direction. Even a defense that, look, is still very good, but the defense was straight elite that year. So there were just lots of things that we thought that were in 2018, including the kicker, that we thought the biggest problem in 2018 was Cody Parkey. And it has turned out to not be that. So I think that this will have been Matt Nagy's third year. And then I'm not saying he deserves another year because other coaches have gone longer, but so far he, like I said, I'll stick to what I said, that they would, the organization would have to be defaced in the final games of this year for them to make a move. And I hope, I will say this too personally, Chris, that I hope that my, I don't like know Matt Nagy that well. I don't have like a one-on-one relationship with him necessarily, but he's an extremely likable guy and very competent when it comes to running an organization.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's the guy you want to play for as a player. He's a player's coach all the way, a former player, of course, in the AFL, and somebody that the team really looks to. He's done a terrific job with that. And you think about the first four-game losing streak the Bears had last season, and they rallied back from that. They won a couple games from there, kind of tried to salvage their season. They didn't make the playoffs, of course, but they at least were competitive, as we the term we mentioned before. They were in the hunt. And they have lost four straight games now. They have a challenge Sunday night. But Matt Nagy has done his job to keep this team together. That only matters so much when your offense is this broken. 2018 was the aberration. And entering this season, you were wondering whether 2018 or 19 was the aberration. You're seeing what this team is. It's still the same team as 2019, but even more broken. You look back to that 18 season, Matt Nagy's first at the helm, and their offense was actually clicking pretty well up until that game early December against the Rams. They won 15-6. The defense was absolutely dominant, and the offense started to break. And the offense has been really, really broken at the core since that game. They were not scoring the rest of the season. Of course, that playoff loss, obviously everybody thinks about Cody Parkey, but they lost 16-15. The offense was not doing its part. Cody Parkey was the reason the Bears were even in that game when he hit the number of field goals he did leading up to that double doink. I mean, this offense has not really stood a chance to give this defense the right compliment and to give this team success. You've seen the failures ever since that game in early December against the Rams, and Matt Nagy has tried. You know, he brought reshuffled his coaching staff. They spent this offseason readjusting the scheme, and it still hasn't worked. So you wonder after this season, whatever these final six games produce, what the Bears think, and whether this is, the term you used earlier, deface, whether this defaces the franchise enough where you make that coaching change.
312-644-6767, Mark Grody, Chris Emma. On the score, talking Bears. I'm reading all your text messages, too. Thanks to everybody up early and texting the score. 312-644-6767. 67 is the number from the 847. Idea of the Bears cleaning house is no longer your drunk uncle's expert analysis. It has to be entertained. How do they get any better with Nagy? I'm stuck on that. Number one, I am tired of uncles being defaced. If we're gonna make that the word of the show today, Emma, defaced. I am a professional uncle. That is what I do. I don't have kids, okay? But I do have nieces and nephews, and I am tired of the drunk uncle, the crazy uncle. Like, that stuff never bothered me when I was a kid. But now that I am a professional tenured uncle, I'm tired of hearing uncles have had a bad name for way too long. Like, what is it about the uncle that has to be crazy? I don't get it.
Well, I know, Mark, that you are the fun uncle, the funkle, but you're also a cat dad. Did I hear your cat in the background?
Yeah, I had to put him. I just put him out in the hallway. Yeah,
well, what's going on with this cat, Mark? We got an issue here.
Okay, here's the deal. A, he doesn't like sports talk radio. And for some reason, because he's a cat, cats like do their own thing, but they like to mess with their owners. And if my attention is not solely on the cat, he starts yelling at me. But I live in a high rise, okay? And there's a hallway, and obviously I have neighbors, but I just put, there's nobody here right now, so the cat has the hallway all to himself. So I threw him out there with some of his toys, so he's going to be fine. I apologize to everybody. Dave the cat was having at it out here. So yeah, that's the cat. That's cat lifestyle.
That made my morning.
yeah. I'm always hoping. God, I hope people aren't hearing that. But yes, Dave the cat must be heard. And yeah, he's just not a fan. You know, maybe it's me. I don't think he likes my takes. I think he's mad that I'm supporting Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as well. All right, Emma, I want to listen to a little bit of Bill Lazor, the Bears offensive coordinator. It's the first time we had a chance to talk to him yesterday, actually, since he was named the offensive coordinator, because when we talked to him the previous week, that had not been determined as of yet. So let's listen to Bill Lazor right now talk about Mitchell Trubisky and how determined Trubisky is and if he's going to play.
I think Mitch has been very serious, very determined. I will say I thought he started training camp the same way, so I'm not saying I'm surprised by it. You know, I obviously this is my history is this year with Mitch, but for a guy who, you know, went from being a starter to a backup and then obviously got injured, I see a guy who never slowed down as far as his preparation. I do think there's a determination in Mitch that I sense for as much as I know him, the real determination to succeed. And I'm kind of fired up for him if/when, you know, his opportunities come. Because, you know, you're around a guy a lot. You're working with him, whether it be from Zoom calls or then once you finally get to training camp. I mean, you find yourself rooting for him. And so I think we're all rooting for Mitch, and I would guess most of you are too.
I love that last part, that he would assume the media is rooting for somebody. That is the Bears offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor. However, although the media may not be rooting for Mitchell Trubisky, do you feel like fans are? And not from the standpoint of, well, Nick Foles sucks and they want the other guy. There is that. That's out there. It wouldn't matter wouldn't matter who the backup quarterback was. If it was Tyler Bray, Bears fans would want Tyler Bray instead of Nick Foles right now. But I do think that because Mitchell Trubisky has real Bears blood, as in he was a draft pick, Bears fans feel some ownership over Mitchell Trubisky, that there is that sentiment involved. Have you felt that from your Twitter mentions? Because I sure have.
You know, without a doubt, I think people really have fired up for him to get this opportunity. I mean, he was cast aside. I think a lot of people who were really pulling for his redemption season felt he was benched way too soon, and I tend to agree with that. I understand why they made the move for Foles. The frustration boiled over with that move, benching Trubisky, and I think Matt Nagy really all along kind of favored Nick Foles. He wanted to get him out there, put him within that offense, a guy that he really trusts and likes. And obviously it blew up badly. So now Trubisky gets a chance. He's got nothing to lose. I mean, he's playing the final six games of his rookie contract. He's set to become a free agent after this season. And he thought he was going to be riding the bench for the rest of this season. This is a huge opportunity for Mitch Trubisky to get out there and show something more. Prove himself as a quarterback who deserves a second contract, whether that's in Chicago or somewhere else. This is an audition that he didn't know he was going to be able to get. And he gets to do it starting out in a primetime game against the Bears rival with his team really needing a win. He sat there all along and watched this run with Nick Foles going 2-5 as a starter. He's been frustrated. He's been helpless because he's been on the sidelines. And now he's got that opportunity to do something and take advantage here. What a huge opportunity. And it's something that a lot of people in Chicago are really rooting for.
What did Bill Lazor think about the play calling switch when Matt Nagy handed it over to him? Was he surprised? Was he excited about it? What did he think about his performance? What does he think about the Packers? That is coming up next here. Chris Emma, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bill, hypothetically speaking, if you were asked to call plays, would you be open to it? And in your previous experiences doing so, how do you describe just the challenges and maybe the fun of that role when you have that role?
That role is only fun when you're moving the ball and scoring points. That's for sure. Those kind of issues aren't mine to discuss. I knew that was coming. You can tell from my reaction.
Hypothetically, are you open to it?
Jones Junior High School, I think, is calling for an offensive coordinator.
That's Bears offensive coordinator Bill Lazor before he was handed the play calling sheet. And he did it last week against the Minnesota Vikings, and the offense didn't work. Bears lost to Minnesota. And Lazor will get the sheet again. He will be calling plays in Green Bay against the Packers on Sunday. Along with Chris Emma, I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's fast forward now to yesterday, when for the first time since you heard that soundbite, Bill Lazor described his thought process when Matt Nagy said, "Here you go. Here's the play call sheet. You are now the Bears play caller." Here's Lazor.
I'm sure it was probably big news out there. I didn't look at it that way. I took it more of, okay, this is just another one of the pieces that he'd like me to take on this week and just go that way. You know, so maybe you think that's a naive way to look at it, but you know, when you're just in the office working every day, that's just, I thought that was the right way to look at it because I'd, like I said, I told him I'm here to serve him and to help him be the best coach he can be.
Well, and then that's the key part right there, Chris, is that any coach, especially being that this is right now, this is more Matt Nagy's staff than ever in terms of these are the guys that he wanted, that he brought in. They're going to be loyal to Matt Nagy, and they're not going to step outside the lines and say, yep, this is great. This is my opportunity. I'm going to run with it. Lazor has to have that humility.
Do you think Bill Lazor has a BU on his play card? Any kind of motto like that? What do you think Bill Lazor has to fire him up?
Hey, Matt, he just said he's here to serve Matt Nagy. So I think that
this is serve Matt Nagy on there.
Has to be there for everybody. Yeah. It is a little different, though, because I'm down on the sidelines for these games. And usually, you know, you have Matt Nagy calling the plays and Lazor's been down there. Now Lazor is upstairs. John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach who had been upstairs, is downstairs. So it throws off everything for me. Like the faces are different down on the sidelines now, Emma.
Yeah, and to your earlier point, I didn't really expect this offense to be dramatically different under Bill Lazor. It's a different perspective. I think the biggest impact of Matt Nagy giving up the play calling was that he's able to be more available for this team. He gets that 30,000-foot view to take a step back and look at his team as a whole. All three phases, instead of just the offense, he can focus on the defense and special teams, focus on game management, speak to players throughout the game, be more active on the sidelines. I think that's critical, and I really believe that's why Matt Nagy needed to give up the play calling. I didn't see something really considerably changing with Bill Lazor as much as it is. It gives Nagy an opportunity to see this team through a different perspective, and I think that was important.
All right, Chris, we got to take a break. I'm going to give my cat some catnip during the break. And then when we come back, some interesting stuff from Anthony Miller yesterday. And the headline is Offense Hurts Player Production. So we're going to hear from Anthony Miller and Chuck Pagano talking about the guy that we haven't talked about at all because other things have been going on. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. So more Bears ahead. We'll get into the Cubs in the next hour as well. J.J. Stankiewicz talking Bears at 9 o'clock. Les Grobstein at 9:30. Pat Hughes at 10 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.